Would you please turn your Bibles to the book of Acts in the ninth chapter? In Acts chapter 9, we have a record being provided by Luke of some of the events in the early days of the church. And in this particular passage, we find his description of the man named Saul and the persecution that he is involved with. So this, of course, then is describing in a very an early time in the church's history, before Saul became a Christian and then became better known to us as Paul, the apostle. And Luke is describing these days of persecution, and says in verse 2 that he asked for letters. That is, this is what Saul was doing. He asked for letters from him to the synagogues at Damascus, so that he found, so that if he found any belonging to the way, both men and women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Luke provides for us here a reference to one of the earliest designations that was used to describe Christians, the way. Saul was seeking people associated with the way, that is, with the way of Jesus. We see later in his record here in Acts, in the 19th chapter, in verses 9 and 23, references again to the people of God as being the way, a designation for them and of them. I'd like to ask you this evening to think with me about this question. What shall be our name? What shall be the designation by which we will identify ourselves and by which we will be identified? Well, some would say, well, that's real easy, David. It's the Church of Christ. That's the only thing that it can be. I remember as a very young man beginning to preach, preaching a sermon in which I made a reference to a passage we'll look at here a little bit later on, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and Paul's referenced to the church of God at Corinth. Afterwards, elderly member took me aside and rebuked me for having made reference to the church of God. That's not right. It's the church of Christ. And I said, well, it seems to me that the Apostle Paul is under the impression that it's also the church of God. Oh, no, it can't be called that. Well, why not? Well, because, of course, there are some false ideas associated with that. And that's exactly right. And it may very well be inexpedient to refer to ourselves because in that way, because of the existence. But something that is inexpedient is not wrong. Everything that is right is not necessarily expedient, Paul writes to the Corinthians. But nonetheless, we need to recognize that the scriptures refer, the same scriptures refer to the Lord's people in the New Testament days as the church of God. It is the church that belongs to Him. It is His possession. Every bit as much as it is the church of Christ. This gentleman made the argument, well, because Christ died, he's the only one that we really can honor, the only one that we can acknowledge. And, you know, there's a point at which you really just can't continue to argue a point. And so we left it at that. But I want to talk to you about this matter of the name of the church. Is there but one name for the one church of the Lord. The scriptures address, of course, the church in its universal nature. That is, the one body that belongs to Christ, composed of all believers everywhere. There is that universal concept that is spoken of in scriptures, but there's also the local capacity. And what I'm asking you to think about tonight is there some official name, some official designation that is to be applied either to the church universally or in its local capacity? I believe it's an important question for us to think about and to study about, because I believe studying such a subject helps us to perhaps avoid some problems of denominational concepts in our thinking. Somebody once referred to Churches of Christ as being the non-denominational denomination. And I think there's some accuracy in that. There's unfortunately present among brethren some very denominational kinds of concepts and thinkings. And it is by studying things like this and discussing such things that we can perhaps identify such problems within our own concepts and root them out and think better and speak better and make better applications than we have in the past. Well, what shall then be our name? What will be the designation by which we will identify ourselves? Well, I think we could benefit by talking about the names or designations that the scriptures speak of that are applied to the church in that universal concept. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, in a familiar passage, I'm sure to you, said to his disciples, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it." When the Lord set out to describe what he was going to build, he described it with just simply the word church. Now, is he here seeking to provide some kind of official name? That is, you just ought to call yourself the church. Well, there would be accuracy in that, no question. But is Jesus trying to provide a name here, or is he describing what he is going to build? The word church is a very common word used by people there just to in that period of time to talk about or to describe people that have been called out for a purpose, for a special purpose. It's used in the scriptures in non-religious contexts as well as religious contexts, because it was a common word. And when Jesus said, "I'm going to build my church," he was describing those people that were going to be called out to him, called out for his purposes. In John chapter 10, in the first 16 verses, Jesus speaks there about his relationship to his people, to his church. And he speaks of the relationship as being that which is like a shepherd to his sheep. And he says in verse 16 that these who are his people, these who are his sheep, who are under his shepherding, are his flock. Was he giving us a name here? Should that be what we identify ourselves as? What we call ourselves? The flock? Well, there would be accuracy in it. But I think we all can see in this text that Jesus is not saying, here's what you're going to call yourself. Here's the name. Here's the official moniker. He's describing what we are. He's describing his relationship. And we could go on and make references to such terminology as the household of God, the house of God. Should that be our name? Or is it really more accurate to think of it in terms of being a description of who we are and what we are? The body is another term that is used in the scriptures. Not as an official name, but as a description of God's people. The kingdom is a term used as well. All of these, and I think we probably see this and understand it, that all of these are descriptive terms about certain aspects of God's people. None of them really are namings or naming exercises where an official title is being given to the Lord's church. And we see much the same thing occurring in Scripture's references to local congregations and to local groups. When you consider the New Testament and the different phrases that are used to identify God's people, is there an official mandated name that is given in any of the references to the New Testament churches, to these local congregations, that should guide people today who are seeking to be New Testament churches, that, okay, well, this has got to be our name. Look, if you would, at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 1, where we find Paul with these words. He says, Paul and Silvanus and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians and God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, when he addresses himself to these folks, it is to the church of the Thessalonians. Why does he do that? Is it to give an official stamp of approval that this is the name by which local groups of people who are serving God ought to go? Well, or is he just describing that particular church that was located in geographical spot of the city of Thessalonica? I think we probably understand that it's not an official designation. Acts the 20th chapter and verse 28, where Paul is speaking with the elders from the church in Ephesus, says to them, be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made overseers, and shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Here again, we see another instance where in Scripture there is the description of the church as being that which is of God, that belongs to God. But is this to be taken as an official designation? The only way in which a local church of God's people are to refer to themselves? It is in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2, repeated there. But also notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and in verse 33. God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. As in all the churches of the saints. The churches of the saints. Is that the description by which we should identify ourselves? Is that Paul's point is to say, now folks, here I'm going to give you at long last the one phrase, the one terminology, the one official name by which you must identify yourself. Of course that's not what he's doing. He's simply describing what was true of the church there, and that is that it was comprised of holy ones, of saints. That's what it's made up of. And so it was quite accurate to describe it as such. In Romans, the 16th chapter, and in the fourth verse, we find Paul's statement there that who for my life risk their own necks, to whom not only do I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Now here he describes congregations or churches, and he describes them as being comprised, made up of people who are non-Jews or Gentiles. Well, I suspect that the overwhelming majority of the people who make up this church are non-Jews or Gentiles. Should we therefore conclude that what Paul is saying is that this is what we have to refer to ourselves as? Or is it just a description of those congregations that were comprised of people who came from something other than Jewish backgrounds? Well, of course that's what it was. And could accurately be used to describe this congregation as well, as a church of the Gentiles. When we come to Romans chapter 16 and verse 16, we see where Paul says, greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. He gives, just as he's concluding his letter to the Romans here, concluding with this general kind of expression from brethren in other places. All the churches of Christ salute you. So is this the official name? I think I've heard sermons on this verse that pretty much concluded, yeah, that's it. It's the official name, and we ought not to employ any other kind of descriptions other than this. Well, I want to tell you that in my humble estimation, it's a pretty good name. It's certainly a scriptural description of God's people, and accurately describes the relationship that exists. If you're talking about the universal church, or if you're talking about a local congregation, it's a name that has, in many ways, and we're going to talk about this in a little bit here in a few moments. It's a name that has, or a description that has suffered from some abuse, but it is not a name of which we must, for some purposes, be embarrassed about or to be unwilling to use any longer. It does exactly what a name is intended to do. Names serve a purpose. They identify. My parents gave me a name to identify me, to distinguish me from others. And that's really what all names do, including names that are employed to describe the relationship between God's people and God himself. Now, we need to understand something about names. We need to understand that they can be abused, and that they can be the occasion for a factionalism that is condemned in the scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapters 1 through 4, the Apostle Paul addresses a situation in Corinth that I'm sure that you're familiar with. He talks about the fact that verse 12 of chapter 1, that some of the people there in Corinth were saying that I am of Paul. Others were saying I am of Apollos. Some were saying I am of Cephas. And still others were saying I am of Christ. And as you continue reading on through these first four chapters, when you get to chapter 4, he actually talks about the fact that he was transferring these things to himself and to Apollos. And it seems to me that what he's saying is he's writing about some problems that exist in Corinth, where there are people whose names were becoming the center of a factionalism as they were gathering groups around themselves. And he says, I've transferred these things to myself and to Apollos. I think he's probably trying to spare the folks that were really at the center of all of this, some degree of embarrassment up to that point in time. But the point he makes, I think, pretty clearly, and that is that the loyalty to names and to the identity names and the identity of groups can be factional. And you can even take a name that's good and factionalize it and sectarianize it. I think that's the significance of what of his saying that some had, attested to their loyalty to Paul, and some to Apollos, and some to Cephas, and some to Christ. I believe what he's saying is that it's possible for some to take the name of Christ and abuse it in this factional kind of way. We need to be careful, therefore, about our attitudes, even towards names and designations that we draw straight out of the scriptures. We need to be very careful about holding the proper concepts and the scriptural truths in the nomenclature that we employ. There is, it seems to me, among brethren, some brethren, an attitude toward the name Church of Christ, in which they have become really quite opposed to it. And to the point that some have just insisted, even to the point of dividing churches, that it no longer be used. And the reasoning that they offer many times is because there is a bias in the community against churches of Christ. People in the community have pigeonholed churches of Christ and what you believe, and you can't get a hearing from them. And so we ought to just do away with the name altogether. And a congregation can certainly rightly conclude and decide to identify itself in a different way. I I don't believe that that I would try to dispute that if a group wanted to change the way in which it identified itself, as long as what they chose to use was another scriptural term, another way from the scriptures in which we see God's people being described. But let's understand something. It's probably not a very intelligent thing to do to make one's decisions on the basis of what the world thinks. Because when you set aside the sign that is out in front of the building and you put up a new one with a new designation, scriptural every bit as much as what's out there now, and you put up a sign out there, let me tell you, the world's going to think exactly the same way about this group if this group continues to teach what the scriptures say. Because you see, that's really is what is at issue. You can change your name if you want to, but are you going to change what you teach? Are you going to teach those people who come to you from the world? Are you going to teach them that, you know, if you maybe call yourself the Way, it's fine moniker. Are you going to teach those people who come to you out of the world that you're also the Church of Christ? Well, I fear there's a lot of brethren nowadays who would say, "Oh no, we don't want to do that." Well, why not? Are you going to teach them that you are the Church of God, that you are the Church of or among the churches of the saints? Are you going to tell them what the scriptures say about the way in which God's people were identified in the first century? I have to tell you this, and it is with sadness, that I'm afraid that what happens a lot of times among brethren who come to this point of saying, "Well, we're going to do away with this name, and we're going to change the sign, and we're not going to identify ourselves as a Church of Christ. We don't want people to know that." I'm afraid that what is involved in a lot of that is an agenda. There's more than just a desire to change the name. I fear there's a desire to change who we are. And that's scary. And it's wrong. I don't care what you call yourself, as long as it has scripture to it. But let it be, whatever we choose to identify ourselves by, let it be a descriptive way of saying what we are in relationship to our God. Jesus did a lot to establish his name, the authority of his name. And whether we live under his name or not is really a critical issue in our lives. Are you living under that name of Christ? Are you submissive to his will? If you're not, if you began to be so tonight, You could become a part of the church that is described in such a variety of ways in the scriptures. But the church that is the Lord's, you would become a part of that church. And we pray that you would do so tonight by giving your obedience to the gospel of Christ while we're standing and singing.